Welcome to Watching Westworld, the officially unofficial podcast for Westworld on HBO. I'm Jim.
And I'm Aaron.
And today we're talking about Season 3, Episode 6, titled Decoherence. We just finished watching it. Aaron, what'd you think?
Jim, what can even kill a host?
Well, the episode told me that fire kills a host.
Did it?
Oh, yeah, flamethrowers will kill all the decommissioned hosts.
Well, I mean, I guess if you just stand there and allow yourself to burn like a candle, but like, here's what can kill a host. We have a definitive answer. You unplug its brain, you take the marble out of its protective coating case, and then you squash it between your, and presumably cybernetically enhanced finger strength, and that will kill a host. Now, the host will still have full consciousness throughout this process of its brain being unplugged and its marble being unhoused from its body. It's got some kind of short-term Wi-Fi in that marble installed. It's only when you crush that. So I really like a lot of what this episode's doing. The William stuff was nuts. That therapy stuff was fucking crazy, and I loved it. But like the whole time they're doing it, they're coding. There's a lot of coding here that like a lot of this stuff isn't real. You know, like William sees the Confederado desperado leader as like the guy that's hooking him up to A. So like when did he get hooked up to AR therapy? How much of that stuff was real? Did his therapist hang on herself? Like when did things go fucko? I have to watch this again and maybe another time before I figure that stuff out. I really like the Maeve. I really like the Maeve Dolores sacrifices saint survivors villain speech and like that whole, you know, kind of stalling and Maeve realizing what the hell is going on. That stuff was really good. But yeah, there's also a lot of silly stuff. I saw Hale got blown the fuck up and then and then crawled out of that fire T-1000 style, still on fire.
That's when they told us that, in fact, actually that thing we showed you before where fire kills hosts, that doesn't count, and this fire is a different fire. It has to be a different fire.
Is Angela still in play now? Because I saw her got blown the fuck up last year and I thought sure she was dead. Not sure anymore. What'd you think?
I actually thought it was a lot better than last week, even though I absolutely need to see this again to get all the ins and outs, because At various points during this thing, I was thinking, is that really mangled core Teddy? Because it looked like it had maybe a bullet glance.
Or had gotten gangrene.
Like, yeah, I don't know what happened to that core, but I was just wondering, like, who is this? Who is this? And of course, at the end, they tell us. And I finally got it. But man, there's so many like little twists, just offhand mentions and a lot of back and forth, really fast conversation, rapid fire dialogue. Especially in those William scenes you were talking about, that I need to go back and I need to see this thing again before I really feel like I've got a hold on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. My gut reaction is it was much better than last week and pretty enjoyable overall.
Yeah. And there's a couple points like in the first third of the episode, I was getting really kind of impatient with the Maeve stuff. I'm like, okay, she's waiting for her to have her body rebuilt. So she's just beating Nazis up for, I don't know, to alleviate boredom. But I'm like, why would you even boot her consciousness into this construct? Why? Narratively, you had to, because she had to reunite with Hector. They had to get that thing back going so it could be ripped apart from her. Right as, you know, we're like, because I was like, this is going to be cool. Maeve's going to get Hector as a companion. She's going to get the help that we talked about her getting a couple episodes. That's going to be a lot of fun. I felt like I got that pulled away from me alongside Maeve, but it did make those first 20 minutes kind of like, it was cool to see her kick a Nazi ass. And also, we finally got a fucking good action scene.
That elevator fight, is that the one you're talking about?
I don't know whether it's just her work on the Thor 3 and what was that crazy Natalie Portman movie?
Annihilation.
Yeah, I don't know if she did some action scenes there, and like she just kind of, but yeah, she was really good, and that riot bot was fucking amazing.
Yeah,
a satisfying action sequence. The show finally delivered.
Yeah, absolutely. That elevator fight was actually awesome. Not just like competent, but really good.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I have my same problems with the humans can't seem to hit anything with fully automatic machine guns.
Yeah.
Even though this is a world in which you can have a machine aim for you and literally hit anything you want by turning your wrist. And like, these people seem to have inferior technology in their hands. Why is that? These are the richest people on the planet. What's going on?
Right.
So many fucking questions around that.
They're Dalos goons, man.
Stupid.
They're Dalos goons. Say no more.
But yeah, the good outweighed the bad, I think, pretty solidly in this episode.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff in here that I wanted to know. Did we get confirmation that William is, in fact, a host? He's got unknown proteins, and there is all kinds of synthetic marker alarms that then got rewritten. But again, I don't know when he went into AR therapy. That could all be bullshit. That could all be his projection of his fears, as it happened. He could just be losing. We know he also suffers from audiovisual hallucinations. But if that is legit, then he's a host, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
They also mention at the end, when Bernard and Stubbs find him, he said, wow, he's been in here a long time. Has he been in there for like a couple hours, a couple days, a few weeks? Like, if he's a host, he could have been there a lot longer than like a human. Because I was out, you know, when he said he's been there for a while, and I'm like, well, he looks okay. And, you know, if he's there for like longer, 3 days, he'd be dead without any water. So, like, is that mean he's a host? But again, I just don't know. And I don't know how many times, I don't know if I could watch this 10 times that I'll be able to tell for sure. Because they've set up this perfect storm of he's baseline crazy, experiencing active psychosis. He is being plugged into some AR therapy simulator. He could also be a host on top of all that.
Right. Yeah, they're pulling out, you know, all the tricks in the bag. And then there's still questions about, time and simulation. And
what's your gut feeling? You think William's a host?
Yeah, I do at this point.
Do you really?
But that's what the show wants me to think. So what am I to do, you know?
See, I think not. I think he will eventually get there, but this is the story of how he gets there, and they're not doing it yet. But I could be wrong.
He's an alien.
Why are humans running around spray painting the maze?
I don't know. That was a question I had in my notes, certainly.
Is that another hint that this is a simulation? Because we've seen the maze spray painted on like episode one tunnel that Dolores was quote unquote dying in. Mm-hmm. I wonder what the hell is that evidence that these things we're seeing like that is a simulation?
It certainly could be, especially in an episode where, you know, they're using simulations to sort of retest Maeve. Like she seemed to be tested in her, I guess, I don't know, deception abilities, or like her ability to outthink people. Pretty early on in this season. In this episode, she seems to be being tested against Dolores's logic to see what kind of person she is and whether she would, you know, side with the enemy of Serac if he let her out off the leash, essentially.
Yeah.
So I don't know. This could certainly all be part of a simulation. This whole world could be part of the more elaborate test for Maeve or Dolores or whoever.
So there's this one point where Dolores or Holoris calls Dolores and they have a conversation, and Dolores does this. You're still mine. I'm still yours. Play your part. We'll build this new world together. Why does she have this relationship exclusively with Holoris and not any of the other clones of herself? It seems like, what is this weird, like, self-love, self-care thing that she's got going on? Why is it manifesting in like Holoris taking unusual care of Hale's family? And does that somehow ties back to the discrepancy in the video between what Hale was simulated or what she recorded, what Holoris actually saw her record, or again, maybe it was the Rehoboam simulation. There's something there that you could probably tear into for sure, I think.
Yeah, not sure what it is though.
I
will say I was thinking, like, what role does Hector play in all this? And it's interesting because it seems to cement, you know, Maeve's antagonism toward Dolores, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, she might have gone along with Dolores's plan had it not been for the fact that they murdered Hector right in front of her for good, seemingly.
And it was such a great way how they set that up too, where like Dolores inside the maze inside the simulation probably would have called that hit off if she could, but she had no way to do so. And that was like the kind of bittersweet part of it. I thought I might be interpreting that wrong though.
So I wonder if they didn't mean to kill Maeve, because Maeve is the one who starts that process up.
Mm-hmm.
Of recreating Hector, giving him a body.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not entirely sure that they don't know that they don't have Maeve that they just killed. And you know, Dolores is killed right after that.
No, so. I think because it shows she pulled that. It was labeled Hector when she pulled marble out of it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she was going to the Maeve one, and then she got ran off by the guards. So I think what you understand is, like, based on everything... Based on Dolores' conversation with Maeve inside the simulation, I think... I don't know. My reading of that was Dolores is very mournful and regretful about what was going to happen, because she knew what would happen, because that's what she would have done without without having a conversation with Maeve. And Dolores out there has no connection to Maeve, so she's going to do what Dolores would do in that situation, which is eliminate the rival that's working with, you know, Robot Hitler is what he is. Like, he's literally like exterminating in a Holocaust all these people.
Isn't Maeve being created in that very same room? Why does Hail, Dolores, whatever, not go kill her too? Probably.
I think she's gonna do both. It's just that like she came across like it's a sequence. Like she ran into Hector's pod first, and then she crushed it, and then stepped to do Maeve and was ran off by gunfire.
Gotcha.
And I don't know, because like I do think Serac was right that Dolores was her role to play. She was supposed to die there, you know, because her job was to suck Delos dry to get all the supplies they need to make a whole bunch more robot bodies.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
We're getting geared up for the 6th annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of Apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and Bald Move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of Bald Movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
But yeah, I don't know. Because the other thing that I would like to know is when Serac took possession of Delos, Rehoboam's like solar eclipse ogram went very discreet. Like it was big and fuzzy and blown out, and what the fuck is even happening here? And then as soon as he made the acquisition, it lined up and got a lot more crisp. Why was that such an inflection point? Because the world still outside is going completely fucking nuts. Like we see it, it's on fire.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's because the simulation thought that this was the moment where he takes out the threat. And so it was simulating, you know, the future where it maybe could get things back under control. But yeah, you know, with Dolores still out there, it's still up in the air.
I wonder, the thing is, might be a little bit disappointing or dissatisfying to see life go back to normal, like, next episode. But I think that's what they want us to believe, that Rehoboam's like, oh, you own Delos, you're going to liquidate all this robot stock, you're going to delete all these host programs, you're essentially, you know, committing, you've gone from having potentially thousands of people, agents, to help an uprising on the outside to, what are we down to, 4 now? Although I guess
no, not technically.
No, because she rescued the Connell's bot too, Connelloris.
And I mean, Haloris is not killed this episode either.
No, she's just barbecued. So they still got all of the Haloris's, all the Dolores's intact.
Yeah.
But still, that's your list of allies grows. I do think that they are setting for sure Dolores up to be the hero, because Maeve now is going to be like the maniacal villain. Mm-hmm. And I think, man, I don't know, Bernardo getting with the, it's interesting to hear William say, I understand my role. Finally, I'm the good guy. And Bernard rolls in, and we think that Bernard's the good guy. And I think this is sucker bait. I think if you are like a certain type of Pollyanna Westworld fan, excuse me if this describes you, you're gonna hold on to that and be like, oh, I like Bernard. He's like cool, and he's like, you know, the centrist moderate that we need in today's crazy robot world. And William now is his better. He's like the drunk evil Superman garbage compactor fight in Superman 2, and he's come out of this crazy experiment. It's good. That's got to be insane, right? Like William's more crazy now than he ever was.
Oh sure.
Spending sure. God knows how long in that head shrinker.
Yeah, and also like you have to remember, Dolores has something planned for Bernard. So
right.
In whatever light you view Dolores, you also have to view Bernard in that light. Hmm. I think. And he might not be as willing of a participant. He might not sort of understand his role, but he's going to play it nonetheless.
I wonder if he's supposed to be like she's the revolutionary destroyer, the smasher. And then but she's completely unsuited to like the peace. And she's going to like, you know, essentially free humanity from their overlords like she freed. And then once she does that, she realizes that she's too fucked up to lead. And she'll either decommission herself, stub style, or take a backseat to Bernard, who will forge some kind of peace. I don't know, maybe with William. Although,
yeah,
per the end of season 2, Stinger, I don't know how William could possibly fit in any kind of healed robot human world. Seems like he's doomed for some kind of wasteland experience. But that could all be a simulation, too.
And I think it's interesting to note that, you know, Bernard is essentially Arnold, right? With a couple of tweaks, and Arnold, yeah, we saw was sort of the one trying to usher in this new sentient life form.
Yeah,
and he didn't get all the way there, but with Ford's help, he has since. So, like, you know, in that role of sort of the rebuilder after the destruction, like you tear it all down to build it back up stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Arnold would fit that role, I think, pretty well, and Dolores might see it as such.
Yeah, you know, Bernard's literally Arnold, only not suicidal. He's got the survival instinct programmed into him instead of like that fragility or self-destruction side to him. What else do you want to talk about? So my head is fairly spinning.
Me too, man. Me too.
I really liked William fucking cleaning house, steel cage match style, his other personas. And Jim Delos just cheered him on.
Yeah,
it's so
it
yeah. Give him one for me. Send him all the way down.
I'm with William. It might be crazy, and I might be crazy too, but I'm with him. If you can't tell whether or not your life happened or you chose it, what does it matter?
You got a father above and a father below, and you know, are they even different? I'm still looking to see who I keep coming back to the Icarus imagery, and I'm wondering who's the person flying too close to the sun. I wonder if it's Serac. Is Serac simulated?
At certain points, yeah.
Do you think he has a physical body?
I do. Because he's in another room, like you see him, and unless they're trying to trick me intentionally, which this show does. But yeah, we see him sort of, you know, turn off his other hologram, and we think the real Serac, who flew in a quadcopter, is in Hale's office.
Yeah. Why would a hologram? What does God need with a starship? What does a hologram need with a jet plane? And
right, I thought it was maybe an elaborate.
Yeah, to keep up appearances.
Yeah, yeah. And to trick, you know, Holoris into trying to kill him and revealing herself, whatever.
He's just chilling in Rehoboam with his synthesized brother kicking back, hologramming it.
Could be.
All right, I don't have a lot. I mean, like I said, I've got a bunch more to talk about, and I've got nothing more to talk about. Do you have anything?
One final question for you. Who is Maeve making?
Who is Maeve making?
Yeah,
who's she going to put in the Hector body? Is that what you're asking me?
Is it a Hector body?
Yeah, of course. Because that's what the brain they're going to put in it, right?
I mean, they were until the brain got crushed.
Right, but that's like when she got out, there was like 100% completion on that body. It's already been built. I think she's going to load... your favorite guy, Lee. I think she's gonna load Lee in a Hector body.
I mean, that would be fan fucking tastic.
I can't wait to see. Yeah, I can't wait to see Hector try to play Lee. But I think that's what's going to happen because she doesn't have another ally unless she's going to fetch what
herself. Well,
there's no other options, right? Because all the other hosts. Well, I was. Ooh,
that could be cool.
That would be cool.
5-on-5 Royal Rumble between. Dolores and Maeve.
Or just Maeve and Hector's body. That would be kind of wild.
But I like Lee actually better. I don't even know if it would work because we've talked about, you know, the fidelity problems with putting a human in a host body. So
yeah.
Who knows if that would work, but we'll see.
But Lee's not a human. He's a recreated construction, so he would fit comfortably in there.
Would he?
Because he's not the real Lee. He doesn't have the same motivations or memories. He's just a cheap facsimile.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. He's not like the same kind of facsimile that a James Delos.
No, yeah, or like even a Bernard. But I think that would be interesting because he's also got that like core drive that he loves Maeve very much, like Hector.
Yep.
I thought that was really good too. That stuff. Like I said, the Dolores, the Saint. Survivor villain speech was so good because she really skewered Maeve a couple points there about, you know, how many people have you sacrificed for your daughter thus far, and Hector a bunch and Lee just the once, but that's good, and it landed Maeve, on those people too.
Maeve fired back with, how many times have you been shown nude on screen?
I don't know. That's Spider-Man. That's Spider-Man point of Spider-Man, if you ask me. What?
Yeah. I just asked, what do you got under that hair, Dolores?
season 3 nudity clause.
Yep.
Hidden behind those locks. I think we're ready to get to the instant talk part, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is where we say goodbye to everybody that's not a club member. If you are a club member at club.baldmove.com, you can join us into this next part where, if you're watching us record this live, you can join in on the YouTube chat interface to ask us questions, propose crazy theories, make jokes, whatever. You can do that at club.baldmove.com. Or if you want to send us feedback for our full deluxe super non-simulated edition podcast coming out on Tuesday, send that to westworld@baldmove.com.